Let's prepare ourselves for the unwrapping of the sixth gift given to us by God. Let's pray. The manner of a God, Heavenly Father, that you are, in the manner in which that you give to us, Heavenly Father, the gifts that you give. Not only the manner, Father, graciously, gratuitously, and we can only receive it by faith, but Heavenly Father, they are the perfect gifts. They are the gifts, Heavenly Father, we unwrap each one that we so vitally need and enjoy. And now, Father, as we move into the sixth gift, which sets up, Heavenly Father, a number of responsibilities, opportunities in regard to our life, we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will lead us in the understanding of this gift, understand why we have this gift, and what this gift is for, that we will utilize it each day. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. David, I'm going to need a little bit. Okay, you receive a gift. The gift is offered. The first thing you have to do is to recognize that there is a gift and that gift has been given. Then there is the receiving of the gift graciously, thank you, graciously, by faith, with a thankful attitude about it. And then there comes, after, to put this into perspective, after Christmas, there comes the time now to use it. There comes the time to wear the tie that your mother-in-law gave you. It's a time now to use the skillet that your husband gave you, and not over his head, but over the stove. It comes a time to use and put on, if it's clothing, put on the clothing and utilize the clothing. Put on whatever the gift is, then now comes a time to appreciate it. If it's something valuable to be enjoyed, to put it up and to enjoy it. So you have that aspect of a gift. So we have to understand there is a gift there given to me, to receive it, and then to be thankful for the gift, and then the use of that gift. Now, the first gift that we studied was that God sent the best. He sent His Son. So our first gift here, these are seven gifts that we're in the midst of studying, seven gifts from God. And the first gift He sent to us was His Son. Now we move tonight to the sixth gift. And the sixth gift that God graciously gives to us is the gift of His own Spirit. The sixth gift now that we're in the midst of looking at tonight is His own Spirit. He has sent us His Son, and now He sends us His Spirit. Of all the gifts, this one, as we're going to see in a few moments, has more references about it being given as a gift than the others we studied. What does that mean? That just means there's more of them. You have one, and certainly that's enough in God's Word. We have one time the gift in His Son. But the more that you have something, the more profound, the more heavy it lays in its weight as far as the Word of God is concerned. Now, the sixth gift that He gives to us, Paul says, calls this the Spirit of the Living God. And a lot of titles and names for this sixth gift. Now, to unwrap it, because I want to do this, the first thing I always like to do is have you see why I chose it as one of the seven gifts. So let's go to a passage where it's called a gift. Straightforward, and it can't be missed. So, first of all, let's unwrap it in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we're going to be doing some work in the book of Acts, and that in itself is a rather profound concept. What is the book of Acts? The book of Acts is just that. It's the beginning of the church. Here we close out the age of Israel. We have the cross, and then 40 days, then Jesus Christ leaves the earth, 10 days, we start the church. And during this period, a great number of things begin to happen. And not a whole lot of dogma is built out of the book of Acts, but in the book of Acts, this is the beginning of the church. This is the beginning of a new economy. Now, what is an economy? What do we mean by the word economy? Another word you might know is dispensation. I wonder how many of you know what dispensation means. How many of you know what that word means? But what does the word mean? Because we can use that in the secular world. I'm sorry? But more specific, what does it mean, though?
A policy.
Administration. Economy. It's the administration. It's the way that God... You have the dispensation, the economy, before the law. You have the dispensation, or the economy, or the administration, of the law, period of the law. You have the economy, the dispensation of the church, which is the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see. And you have the millennium, when Christ rules. So it's an administration. So we're in a new economy, and this is the beginning of it, the beginning acts, and things that built the momentum for it. And going through building up for this new economy. And I'm going to go back earlier than chapter 10, but because all the way through here, gift, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, big emphasis. But let's start so that you can just, we're all on the same track and we're like-minded. See, what I want you to see is there's so much emphasis, his son. So here is the coming of his son. And we have this economy of time. It's closing down of the period of the law. The law is still, we're still in the age of Israel. And the son, the coming of his son, Malachi, getting ready for the coming of his son. And his son is here. But then we have his son leaving. And the emphasis is going to shift now. I'm going to show you this. Because this offends some people. The emphasis is going to now shift to his son, to his spirit. Great deal of emphasis, and I want you to see this tonight. But so that we're on the same track, let's take a look at it. Acts 10, verse 45. Acts 10, verse 45. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. A lot of fantastic passages that we're going to look at and unwrap tonight. Okay, 10:45. And all the circumcised believers, Jewish primarily, out of the age of Israel, and all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed. These are generally Jewish converts, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the dogs, the Gentiles, also. So I just want you to see, in a blatant passage, boom, gift of the Holy Spirit. The word for gift here is the word doria. The same word we started off with last Sunday, two Sundays ago, the gift of Jesus Christ. The same word. The gift of Jesus Christ, doria. The gift of the Holy Spirit, doria. Here's the gift, freely given. It is given gratuitously. That's the emphasis of the word, you recall. And this is what we have here. Now, I wanted to unwrap this gift so that you would see it and know this gift is called the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's given to us by God in that order. But now what I want to do is I want to roll with this through some of the things in Acts. Indeed, it'll have the word gift, but this is very blatant. You can see that. Gift of the Holy Spirit. No, I mean, you don't have to know much to see that. But I want to go back, and I want to emphasize here, and I want you to watch his son, everything in the gospel. What's the gospel? His son, his son's coming, his son's birth, his son's childhood, his son's work, his son's the 3 years of public ministry, everything around the cross, the burial, the resurrection, all of these things, the teaching of the disciples, the conflict with the religious crowd, all of this around his son. And then he leaves. Boom, he departs. They all hear his departure. And now the emphasis is that you're going to see right from the very beginning, skipped over to the Holy Spirit. So with the coming of Jesus Christ, he's come now, the Spirit has come, he's fulfilled his work, he's left, he's departed now, and now we come to the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the departure, and now with his ascension and session, boom, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and now the emphasis is going to shift. It is going to shift to the Spirit of the living God. And this is where now the emphasis is going to be given. He sent his Son. He sent his Spirit. You know, what we've done, a lot of people, oh, you don't want to emphasize the Spirit of the Son. The Bible emphasizes it. God emphasizes it. This is God. Don't be afraid of this person. This is God. This is God. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father has given to us both of these. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48 with me. Turn to Isaiah 48. Powerful verse in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Okay, Isaiah 48, 16. Come near to me, listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God, God the Father, has sent me, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit. They're so close together. It's just, boom, he said, his Son and his Spirit. And that's what we have happening in history. It's boom, boom, he sent his Son. In the span of time, they're just, you know, days apart. And so he sent his Son did his work, and now he sends his Spirit. And his Spirit now is a great emphasis that we have at play right now. So let's take a look. Very beginning of the church, Christ has died, resurrected, had the 40 days, which he appeared before the disciples, and then he just ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father. 10 days later, the church starts. Turn to Acts 1. All right, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to cover some ground tonight, but I think you're going to appreciate it. Acts chapter 1. All right, let's just start reading. The very beginning, this is the beginning of the church, the Gospels now, all about Christ, the Gospels, about the person of Jesus Christ. Now we begin the church account. Okay, reading from the New American Standard, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Luke is writing this to a friend. Well, if we were studying the book, we'd cover all of this, but you get the idea. Now verse 2. Until the day when he was taken up. Okay, what is that? Boom. We have his burial, his death. We have his burial and resurrection. And then the 40 days and taken up. That's the ascension. So we have the departure of Jesus Christ from planet Earth. David, I don't know why. Maybe it's my ears. I don't think so, but I need a little more. Departure of Jesus Christ from planet Earth. Now let's continue. After he had, this is Jesus Christ now, by the Holy Spirit. Okay, here it is. Jesus Christ, that's it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, people in seizing the disciples and in teaching them. It wasn't done by council. It wasn't done by congregation. It was done by God the Holy Spirit leading the Son. Okay, giving orders, Jesus Christ giving orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. He's doing this under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, everything he did, everything where he went, was under the leading and power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. To these, the living apostles, he also presented himself alive after suffering. Now, what's the suffering? Suffering is the death. It's another word for the taking our sins on himself. That's the death, followed by the resurrection. To these, to the apostles, he also presented himself alive after his suffering of death, and then the resurrection, by many convincing proofs. Okay, so they know it's the Christ. Appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, again, this is extremely important. Where? It's extremely important in our study of the greater works. And we saw why they're called greater in reference to the kingdom. This is what Jesus Christ is talking to them, to the disciples, the apostles, about. He did not allow, Jesus Christ was not allowed to enter the church. See? And this period that we're dealing with here, the kingdom on earth during the church age, but he could not enter. So we have a problem since he cannot enter. And since he cannot enter, we're going to have a replacement. A replacement. And so God is going to send a replacement. And that's our sixth gift. He sent the first gift. Now that gift goes up to be with the Father. He's done his work. Now we come to his replacement, and it's replaced now by the sixth gift. And that's what we're studying with Joshua and Moses. Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land. He'll be taken out and replaced. Replaced by a spirit figure, Joshua. Now, let's continue. Concerning the spirit of the kingdom. And we now come to the one who would take the Jesus Christ's place in the kingdom, that is the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. And gathering them together, now watch this is our verse. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. Now, question, what did God promise? That's what he's referring to here. When did God the Father make the promise? And to whom did he make the promise? Those are the three important things that you have to know. What did the Father promise? When did the Father promise it? And to whom did the Father promise? Okay, I want to answer them, and then we'll do it in text. First of all, God the Father promised that he would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior during this economy, during this dispensation, during the church age. God the Father made the promise to his Son, Jesus Christ. And God will keep the promise as soon as the church starts and all the way through the church, going on right now today, and it will go until the end of the church, the end of the period of the church. Okay, now let's see this. First of all, Jesus Christ asked. Jesus Christ asked God the Father. See, let's take it in order. First, Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father as per the Father's promise to all mankind throughout the Old Testament. Or if you want to look at it in the way of our study, Jesus Christ was given as a free gift to all mankind as the Savior. Secondly, in progression here, after coming, completing his work, Jesus Christ departs planet Earth and goes home to the Father. Three. That's right here. He departs planet Earth and goes home to the Father. Upon his ascension, going up, and session, being seated at the right hand of God the Father, he now makes a request. After coming, completing his work, he departs the earth, and then three, upon his ascension and session, Jesus Christ asked his Father, our Father, to send the Holy Spirit to his own. That means to Jesus Christ's own, as a gift to them. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to send to all those who believe in me, I want you, Father, to send them your Spirit. That's what I want you to do. Father said, I promise I'll do that. Okay, let's go to two passages. First passage we want to look at is John 14, which we'll be studying. Look back a few pages, John 14. John 14, we've got to hurry. John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, it's not said when, I will, future. Hasn't asked yet. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I'm the first helper. That's the first gift. Another helper, that's the sixth gift. That he may be with you forever. Now, also in John 14, look at verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, so what do we have at this point? We have Jesus Christ, boom, going to the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, people say, please, this is a member of the human race. This is our representative here. It's our rep. This is ours. This is one of us. Eats like we do, thinks like, has soul, body, everything like we. There he is, right there in heaven. And he turns to the Father, God, and he says, I want you to give them the Spirit. I want you to give them the Spirit. Turn with me to John 15. Okay, John 15, 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. See how they're so close together? Oh, people, if you can understand that union model, how close God the Father, God the Son are, how close God the Son is to God the Holy Spirit, how close you and I are to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus Christ. People want to split. Well, no, they're so close. The Lord is the Spirit. I mean, the way he's worded this, we could have lawyers argue all of this. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. Well, wait a minute. He says, I will send, then he says, proceeds from the Father. What's going on? Say that close. The one and the same. From the Father, he will bear witness of me. Now God makes his promise. Look at Acts 2:33. Go to Acts now. Acts 2:33. I had so much fun doing this one. Acts 2:33, and I guarantee you this one could have been months, but we're gonna crash through this. Acts 2:33. Therefore, having been exalted, to the right hand of God. Now watch, that's right here. Ascension, session. That's the exaltation of Christ. That's the glorification of the Son. Now watch what happens. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, to whom was the promise made? The promise was made by God the Father to His Son. See, he's right there at His right hand. The Father, from the Father, the promise. What's the promise now? You have it all right here. What's the promise? Of the Holy Spirit. He has poured forth this with you, both see and here. Boom. So we have it all right here. We went up there, went to the promise, went to the Son, this. God the Father said, okay, I promise, I'll send. So Acts 2:33, the promise is given here and is stated again and is fulfilled, the beginning of the fulfillment of it. So forth, God the Father promised his Son that he would send the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:33. Then the fifth thing here, God immediately fulfilled his promise. The beginning of the church age, beginning on the day of Pentecost. Okay, now we're ready. Let's go back to Acts 1:4. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for that which the Father has promised, which he said, you heard from me. Now verse 5. For John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Baptism of the Holy Spirit replaces the baptism of water. It's amazing how men want to prefer to be baptized, have the water, the ritual, instead of the reality. We have the reality. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not the baptism of water. And don't get into a big deal with people at baptizing. Just saying that this is the reality of the water baptism, is the giving of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is what we have. Okay, let's kind of take these into some Roman numerals so you can follow through with me on this sixth gift. Roman numeral 1, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:45, which we looked at. Roman numeral 2, the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:1-5. And the reason I would like to do this is because I'm going to build on it throughout the year. Acts 1:1-5. Roman numeral 3, the promise is stated and the beginning of its fulfillment, Acts 2:33. Now, Roman numeral 4, the promise is for all. All who believe. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. And if you'll write this down and then we'll look at it. Acts 2, 37-39. Now let's take a look at it. That's written down. Acts 2, 37-39. Now remember in 33, we just had God promising and God giving it. Now verse 37, let's take a look at our passage. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? They want to receive the Spirit. And Peter said to them, Repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift. Now here we have it called a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Right from the very beginning, it's called a gift. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. So it's all inclusive, this gift. Roman numeral 5. Now, this is fun. So magnificent. So magnificent is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the seemingly power that is that these apostles had to give the Holy Spirit, that we have an account. It's a rather interesting account. It deserves months of study. It has a lot of the conflict, the spiritual warfare with it. It has a lot of the I am debate in it between God and Satan. It has a lot to do with the Holy Spirit. But let's just have fun to get ourselves familiar with what's going on. We don't have an account of one man, but there are those who were so impressed with this that they thought they could earn it, or they thought that they could buy it. Now, don't snicker if you are in your mind about buying, and my apologies to those of you, this is your background, because the Roman Church has done much with this buying things of God and penance and a lot of things. One of the things that struck into the soul of Martin Luther as he studied Romans, but they wanted to buy it. They wanted to earn it. They want to earn the Holy Spirit. They want to earn the power of the Holy Spirit. They're just amazed by this miraculous power, and it is powerful. This is one of the things that Satan has done such a great job. Is got one group, we call them charismatics over here, who oftentimes make such, you know, weirdos of themselves, that we get all, I don't want to be like that, so we get way over here. We don't even want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't want to give him the credit of the power that he does do. And when somebody does give him the power, a lot of times, straight-laced, straight-tight Bible people over here get all nervous when you start talking about the Holy Spirit and his power. People, he's powerful. This is why he's given. I mean, there ought to be miraculous things start happening in all of our lives the more we learn to walk by this power. And that's what we have happening in this passage. Don't be afraid you're going to become a weirdo. It didn't make Christ a weirdo, did it? It's not going to make us a weirdo. But don't be afraid of his power. He is powerful. He, a person that we can have an intimate relationship with. Okay, let's have some fun here. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now, just so you know, Roman number 5, we're going to study where a guy tried to buy it. People want to earn it, buy it, some way get it. Always people trying to get it what? Other than the way we're designed to get it. Okay, let's take a look. Now, when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. Oh, boy. I just want to stop there and talk about Samaria for hours. Do you know Samaria, right? It's their dogs are in Samaria. That's where the Jews would go around Samaria. Here is Galilee up here, and here's the River Jordan, and here's the southern kingdom, here's Jerusalem. And in this area here is Samaria. Those dogs. This is where Jesus Christ, instead of going around, went through, met the woman at the well. Phenomenal teaching there about the Holy Spirit, too. And things happened here. These are horrible people, and here we have it. And they have received the Word of God, and it becomes so important. See, this is the Samaria, first place Jesus Christ taught his prophecy of the work of the Holy Spirit and worshiping God. This is where he gave it. Because this woman was ready. The woman at the well. Very important, very historical, very important in the whole spiritual warfare is that woman at the well. And all that went on with the woman at the well, and Christ made his prophecy of the Holy Spirit and the church and a whole how to worship God. And so important is all of this that they stand here in verse 14, they stand their two big guns, Peter and John. They're going to stand these. And they're those, by the way, the big guns, Peter, John. There are those self-righteous people who say Peter has no right to even be used of God, and here he is being the main person going into Samaria. All right, let's take a look. Verse 15. Who, then, Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, one, they're already believers. They became believers before the church began. And you got to remember, this whole thing is being set up because it'll be done in an orderly manner. Jerusalem, and Samaria, Galilee, and then the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, slowly some, but it started here, then it just starts, it's done in an orderly manner so that people know what's happening to them when these things start occurring. So that's what you have in verse 15 without really developing it any further. Verse 16, for he, Holy Spirit, had not yet fallen upon any of them. The day of Pentecost has already occurred in Jerusalem, but now we're getting ready to go further out. The ripples of the indwelling of the Spirit getting ready to go further out. For he, the Holy Spirit, had not yet fallen upon them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Water baptism versus the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, then they began laying their hands on them, that is, Peter and John, laid their hands on them, and they, the Samaritan believers, we're receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay, somebody's standing there watching this and is just all struck with this power. Verse 18. Now when Simon is Simon the magician. He's impressed with this type of stuff. And that's a lot of what the charismatic movement is, dear people. Those who are impressed with the hoopla, but they don't really comprehend what's going on. It's not that they've gotten too much of the Spirit, or they've gone too far, they're not even on the right track. You can't get too much of the Spirit. You can't go too far. You can be wrong. Yes. So that's what we have. But look what it says. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the hands of by the apostles, he offered them money. You know, sometimes you just know when people don't have it. Let me pay for this. You don't understand, do you? You haven't got it. You know, just in our own life, sometimes let me pay you back for that. You just don't get it. You don't understand. And sometimes people, and they don't, and they insult and they hurt, and it's just a horrible thing. You don't understand why I've done something. You don't understand why I expressed this love. So often, a lot of times, I'm sure ladies are hurt this way. Let me give you some money. And I'm not talking about any immoral act. I'm just talking about the kindness from a woman. No, you don't understand. I really care about you. And I want to do this. And it's insulting. It's flat out insulting. But most important, it shows what? You don't understand. You look at a Simon, and at first you want to just, you know, brace him, and then you go, poor Simon, I pity you. You don't even have it. Okay, he's got to offer the money saying. Now look what he says. Give this authority to me as well. He wants the authority to give the Holy Spirit so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon is like so many people through the Holy Spirit, through his church history, a lot of the charismatics, a lot of people today, they're so impressed with the power. They're so impressed with all of this that that's what they're all totally focused on, is all of the hoopla. They're just impressed with all of this stuff. Sometimes movies are made out of it. I didn't see it in the theater, but I did see it on TV. The guy knows. Anyway, different people have made movies about, you know, the faith healers and all of these people. And they're just so impressed with all this power. And that's all that they really want. And they don't even begin to understand. And they want to work for it and do things for it. Now, Simon is impressed with this kind of stuff. He's already impressed with it. That's his nature. Look back at verses, chapter 8, right where we are. Look back at verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9 with me. Now there was a certain man named Simon. This is the one we're talking about. Who formerly was practicing, now it's before he was a believer, before practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. He's really impressed with himself and with his power. And he can do magical things. Verse 10. And they all, and boy, this is so angelic-oriented, the conflict-oriented, and they were all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And if we had time, and we'll study it sometime because it's so powerful. Great, you see the word power? Great power of God. He doesn't have any power of God at all. But he was thought, everybody thought he did. By the things that he did, by all of his magic and all of his performance. So he's impressed with this. Then he sees these disciples over here, John and Peter, laying hands on, getting the Holy Spirit, and things going on. And, boy, hey, wait a minute, guys, wait a minute, boy. We got a good deal here. Hey, we can do something here. You got this power, let's sell it. I'll buy it from you. Selling this ability to do this. So he's gonna try to make some money out of it. And now verse 20. Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift. Here it is, it's called a gift again, the Holy Spirit. The gift of God with money. It's called gift. Here it's called dream. The same word as the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus Christ, gift of the Holy Spirit, both Jesus gifts. See, this is a free gift given. It is not earned. It is not bought. It is a free gift. And here it's called that a gift. Okay, Roman numeral 6. We're just going to flow through this. Roman numeral 6. Basis of receiving this gift. What's the basis of receiving this gift? The gift is given. Now, how do I receive this gift? Because I do want it. Now, unlike Simon, I'm not going to offer money, but I do want this gift. So, how am I going to... I'm sorry. Roman numeral 6 in the order. So we have these points in order. In the order of the books, now we're ready. For in order, the giving of the Holy Spirit is called a gift. Acts 10, for Roman numeral 6, Acts 10, 44 and 45. Acts 10, 44 and 45. And if you look at that, we'll read it one more time. I turned to this at the very beginning because I wanted you to see right up front it's called a gift. But now let's look at it as we've gone through Acts in chapter 1. Now in Acts chapter 10, look at verse 44. Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. While he's speaking, this is a phenomenon. The Holy Spirit fell. But this doesn't happen in the church age. Throughout. This is the believers receiving it. The only way this would happen now is if somebody, while a man is speaking, well, I say while I'm speaking, and someone receives Jesus Christ as Savior in the midst of a message, then they're going to get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But here's what we have happening in verse 44. While Peter was speaking, these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. We don't have time tonight. It's not our purpose. We're here to look at this gift. But we'll deal with why, at the very beginning, was the Holy Spirit given visually? Why was he given visually? In other words, the little fire would come down and be there. And so, let's say we're here, and let's say that a bunch of us here are Jewish converts, and we know that over here a bunch of Gentile dogs, and all of a sudden we see them receive the Holy Spirit. We can't even deny it. Boom, we see it. So that's one of the reasons this was done visually, so that everyone would know everyone receives the Holy Spirit. So this is why you have that at the very beginning, why it was done that way. Now Roman numeral 7, the basis of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have seen that the gift of righteousness is received by faith, the gift of justification is received by faith, and we studied verses, and we took the time to do that. The gift of life is received by faith. Now, what is the basis for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit? Okay, we have some order. We have an order, so let's start your work here. First of all, let's look at John 14:16. Now, Roman numeral 7, basis of receiving the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go through a little flow here. One, first of all, John 14:16. So let's take a look. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he, the Father, will send you, believer, another helper, that he may be with you. So, no conditions given here. Jesus Christ just said, I'll ask the Father, and the Father will send. He will give you another helper. Okay, so we got that. But, look at Acts, for the second verse now, second passage, Acts 5:32. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Okay, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. See what it says. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Uh-oh. We want to receive, so we're talking about how? How can I receive the sixth gift? And the sixth gift in our study, the Holy Spirit. How can I receive it? It's just always the question. How do I have righteousness? How do I do all of these things? How's the big question? And now we've got a passage in Acts. To those who obey. There is that word again. There's that word. Pop right up in front of us again. And what is the obedience? What is the obedience spoken of here that is required to receive the Holy Spirit? We have to obey. What is the obedience that is required to receive the Holy Spirit? Now, there are those who see this word, well, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to keep the law, Ten Commandments. You're going to have to be good. You're going to have to do a lot of stuff, because that's what the word obey means to them. But what do we know from the Abrahamic covenant? We know that there is another obedience in all of this. So, just from all of our study, what do you think the obedience is? Faith. Let's see if we're right. Let's see if we're right. This is what we think it'll be. This is what we think it'll be. So we have to find out now, what is the obedience that is being spoken of here? Okay? Let's kind of build it a little bit. First of all, the obedience is the obedience of faith, but let's see if we can build it. John 3:36. Let's look at John, our first passage for cross-referencing some things here. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey, and if we were diagramming the sentence, we get a parallel between obedience and obey. Obey is the faith. So, here he's believing, that's obedience. Does not obey the Son, that is, does not believe in the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So here we see, obedience refers to faith in this passage. So we get that connection, get that understanding. Second passage, look at Isaiah 50. Powerful passage in the Word of God. Isaiah 50. Okay, Isaiah chapter 50. Okay, let's see. Isaiah 50, and let's look at verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? Okay, so we have to obey the voice of the servant, that's the Messiah, that walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust. There is the obedience. The obedience is trusting the Messiah. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Two words for faith. That is the obedience. Now, verse 11, of those who do not want to, verse 11, all those of you who kindle a fire, that's, you're going to do it yourself, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, you're going to work for it. Walk in the light of your fire, that says you do something now, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This is what you have from my hand, and you will be down, you will lie down in torment. Okay? Third passage, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5. So you can write it and then we'll turn to Romans 1, 5 for our third passage. Romans 1, 5. Just going to go through this kind of quickly, lay our foundation. Romans 1, 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. So obedience, yeah, the obedience of faith. But more specifically to our study, let's now turn to Acts 11:17. Acts 11:17. Let's see. Those who will see, it's clear. Acts 11:17. If God, therefore, gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, okay, Peter's talking, if God the Father, therefore, gave to them, Gentiles, the same gift, Holy Spirit, as he gave to us, Jews believers, also after believing. When you receive the gift, after faith. Faith first. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? See? Okay. Now, what do we have going on here? So, you'll see the passage. Look at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 11. Verses 1, 2, and 3, we have Peter come to give a report on all of this. Oh, people, you know, we get so doggone set in our dogma, we lose spiritual lives. And we lose spiritual love, and we make a lot of wrong assumptions, and we hurt a lot of people. This is why it's so important that we live by the new commandment to love as Christ loved. If you let love guide you in dealing with others, I'm not sure about this or that. I'm not sure what God's going to do in this case or that. Then deal with it in love. Peter and the Jews, Peter especially, as a leader, Jews, only the Jewish believers are going to get the Holy Spirit, and the dogs are not. They're not going to get it. And they don't want them to get it, and they're not going to get it, and that's what was taught and presented by Peter. And this is what people thought. And it's not true. But they go to the Bible, lay it all out about being a Jew and all the rest of it, and give all these bases, show me where Gentiles get anything, all this kind of stuff from Scripture. So, look at verses 1 and following. Verse chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren, believers, who were throughout Judea, Jewish believers, heard that the Gentiles who had received the word of God, that's the gospel, and when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them? And they're so dogmatic to hurt and to divide because they know something they don't know. And when you just don't know, love never fails. But we don't know. We haven't caught on to that issue yet. So we have in verses 2 and 3, the objection. Verse 4, look what happens. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying. Now, we don't have time tonight, but he's going to go through how he went to Joppa and how he saw the Holy Spirit given to Gentiles, and he develops all of this. Now jump with me to verse 15. And as I began to speak, now, I've gone to these Gentiles and Jewish believers, let me tell you something. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. I thought, I'm an apostle. I'm explaining to you. And I remember then, when that happened, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we know from John where that remembrance came from. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's the function of the Holy Spirit, to bring in the remembrance. So I saw them, and I remembered the words about the giving of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, here's his conclusion then. If God, therefore, people, gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way? It's a polite way of saying, and neither are you. We're not standing in God's way. If God wants to bless these people and give them the Holy Spirit, you better stand aside. God's doing it. And not only that, I remember when Christ talked about it. So we better just stand aside and let God be God and quit challenging God. Verse 18, and they responded, and when they heard this, they quieted down, glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. So verse 17, he gave to us also after believing. So what is it? Faith first, then the blessing of faith. And this is always the pattern. We've already studied this issue. Faith first, then the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the pattern. Faith first, then the power of the Holy Spirit. For unbeliever, for believer. Faith first. See? Believer receiving the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. Faith first. Walk by faith. Boom. As you receive him, walk. Boom. Faith first. Then when you and I, coming out of sin, have that act of faith. Boom. Powered with the Holy Spirit. Let's see if this is true. Galatians 3. Cross-reference Galatians 3. Let's just read it. Galatians chapter 3. They're trying to live a righteous life, coming out of sin, trying to do it by works of the law. What does Peter say to them, or Paul? You foolish Galatians, who has charmed you before whose eyes Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now this is salvation one. By the works of the law, or by the hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? No. You're going to be perfected by the Spirit. You're going to receive him as a believer out of sin the same way you did as an unbeliever. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed you suffered in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit, with this miraculous power, if you have the NASB, you can look in the margin, the miraculous power that you received. Okay. We have a pattern. What is the obedience? The obedience is faith. We have this same thing we've seen, faith first. Our faith allows God to work on our behalf. It allows God to deliver us, in this case, from sin, deliver us into the Spirit-filled life. Deliver us out. How? On the basis of our faith and God's work. Here's our sin. Here's our status. Faith first, then God can deliver. Then God can give us the gift, the blessing. Let me read you a quote. It's always encouraging to me. I don't say mine, but Peggy Costello likes to read, and it sometimes at first a little hesitant and showing me something, like maybe I'll be offended that, you know, she didn't believe what we were saying. No. People, it's encouraging. I want to see. I want to read. If you read anything from the first century all the way through, where these priests are taught, and I found some other examples and stuff, it's just what I'm teaching, What I'm teaching, what we're studying here, and what split this assembly last year, people have been taught since the very beginning. This isn't anything new. It's new to a lot of people here. But I could go to a lot of circles and start talking about spirituality by faith, and people just sit there, well, how else would it be? They wouldn't even, you know, they wouldn't raise an eyebrow. If I started all this explaining it, what's the deal? You know, it's by faith. Let's move on. Like some of you are there now. Okay, I got it. You know? Go. Okay. I want to read to you out of the 19th century, Pastor Stockmeyer. Quote, and this is in the middle of a long message. The reason so few Christians realize these things is that they do not have the same definite trust in the work of the Holy Spirit as they have in the work of Christ. We must be Trinity believers, realizing all that Christ has provided for us by His work. But we are in the economy, dispensation, we are in the economy of the Holy Spirit. And so long as we do not honor the Holy Spirit, we cannot be practical Christians. End quote. We've got to understand each member of the Godhead. Dear people, this is a gift. Understand this. This is a gift from God. And that gift from God is the Holy Spirit. No less important than the first gift, Jesus Christ. He is extremely important because He got us into the kingdom. But then we have this gift to function in the kingdom. So we have a gift here. We have to utilize this gift. We have to take advantage of this gift. We have to utilize this gift in regard to our daily life. This is a very valuable gift. I don't know what gift you got for Christmas. I don't know. But if you get some gift, I can just say this. Jennifer, I guess you're the oldest team we have here. If Mike and Peg had given you a 1995 Corvette, would you just sit it in the driveway? Or would you drive it? You drive it. Doggone right. I'm not going to let this sucker sit. Not for a minute. I'll be back for breakfast. You know, I'll be back dishing down to eat, change clothes, gas up, and I'm on my way again. It's a gift. I want to use it. There are some gifts I really want to get to. This is a gift. And we've got to use it. Now, my time's over, so I'm going to give you a list. I wish we had time. We'll do it another time. I guess that's what I'm being told here. We'll hold this, and we'll do it at another time as far as looking at studying it. So let's take a look now. So, point 8, Romans 8. The gift becomes a gift giver. The gift of the Holy Spirit now becomes a giver of gifts. Not only is the Holy Spirit a gift from God, once we receive Him by faith, He now becomes the gift giver. One of my worst studied books, a very good one by Bullinger. It's good heavy reading because it's not a paragraph type thing. He just takes passages where every passage of the Holy Spirit or Spirit is given, and he makes very fine distinction. Is this a gift, or is the Holy Spirit the gift, or what the Holy Spirit gives is a gift? It's a tough deal. But let's just take the principle here. The gift becomes a gift giver. And that's a wonderful gift to give somebody. Give somebody a gift that will give them gifts. This is what God the Father has done. He's given us a gift that's going to give us some wonderful gifts. Now, let's take a look. First, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. Let's just read this. If you've got to leave, you may leave. I won't be offended. But I hope you won't be offended if I go on. Isaiah 11, let's just read it together. We won't do this all the way through, but I want you to see here seven gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit in our life. And we can expect these. We should expect these, people. And this is going to be what we're going to see. These are things you should expect. Isaiah chapter 11. Then, verse 1, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, this is referring to Christ, and a branch from the root will bear fruit. Fruit, bear fruit. What does that sound like? Okay, sounds like the Holy Spirit. and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Okay, seven gifts from this gift. The gift of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. These are the gifts that are given to us by God, the Holy Spirit. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Now, this is powerful stuff. We've got to believe these things. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right? Then you have nine gifts in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You have nine gifts in the New Testament listed together, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. By this gift, people, now here we go, by this gift, we are able to worship God. We are able to worship God. John 4, 23 and 24. Philippians 3, 3. We are able to learn God's Word by the Spirit of truth. John 15, 26. John 16, 33. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5. We are able to love as Christ loved, fulfill the new commandment by this gift. John 13, 34 and 35. Romans 5, 5. Galatians 5, 22. Everybody talks about glorifying Christ. How are you going to do it? You're not going to do it without the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7 and 14. Empower us to live the Christ-like life. Acts 1, 5 and verse 8. Galatians 3, 5. Servants of a new covenant by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, 5-8. By His power we're able to serve God. Romans 7, 6. We are actually led in life, led around in life by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 18. Romans 8, 14. Living in liberty is by this gift. This is a gift of liberty. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Galatians 5, 1 and 13. Basis of true unity. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. 12, 11 and 12, 13. Colossians 3:14. This is the basis of true unity. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, six gifts, the Holy Spirit, persons. We are given as a gift two persons. We're given a Son. His is God the Father. We're given a Son and we're given His Spirit. And he expects us to have a relationship with both. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, we come to the seventh gift of our seven gifts from God. And it'll take both Sunday morning and Sunday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the God that you are to provide us with these gifts. We love Christmas. We love birthdays. We love events, Father, when we get gifts. The nature of man. It's not sin. It's not wrong. We just love gifts. We enjoy getting gifts and receiving them. And we enjoy them, especially if they're given in a correct manner. And we just enjoy them. And now, Heavenly Father, we've unwrapped six wonderful gifts from you out of your word, wrapped in the pages of your word. And it's our purpose, Heavenly Father, to understand all of these gifts and to take advantage of them. And as we study the sixth gift, Heavenly Father, not only to receive Him by faith, but now to allow Him to use it, to have an intimate relationship with the sixth gift, the Spirit you have given to us. Pray, Father, that He now will prepare our spirit, our souls, our minds, for the seventh gift that we'll study Sunday. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.